The Financial Survival Network, helping you survive and thrive in the new economy. For a free financial survival toolkit and newsletter, sign up at kerrylutz.com. KerryLutz.com.
1490 WGCH. This is Kerry Lutz. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. My next guest, been on the show before. He's known as the mercenary geologist and has pick, will travel. Mickey Fulp, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm in St. Louis. I'm a big St. Louis Cardinal fan, so I'm very much enjoying the baseball playoffs right now, Kerry.
Hey, well, you know what they say, every dog has its day, right?
Well, next to the New York Yankees, the Cardinals have the most world championships, so we're very proud to be number two here.
Hey, I was a big Cardinals fan in the 60s, way back when, 70s, when they had those classic teams. So on to other things that we're fans of, the metals, heavy volatility. We see a rare confluence of events where gold is trading for substantially more than platinum by $100-some-odd, my last reckon. What's your take on that?
Well, it's quite unusual. If memory serves, the last time this actually happened was in, I believe, 1992 or 1993. So generally we see platinum trading at a premium over gold. The platinum to gold ratio right now is 0.92, which is quite unusual. And what that signals to me is that gold is overbought with respect to platinum, or you can look at it the other way, is platinum is undervalued right now. So this tells me that I would prefer to buy platinum rather than gold at this juncture, and I'm actually negotiating right now to buy some platinum. So
it's a little harder.
It looks irresistible to me at this point.
Yeah, I am so tempted to jump in to swap some gold for platinum. I can't even tell you. And that confluence, that conjunction, if I was an astrologist, I'd call it, I think, that, is so rare. It's happened, I think, three times in the past 40-some-odd years. And each time it happened, platinum took off for the moon. And even if you believe that they're both undervalued relative to fiat currency, certainly platinum's the more attractive choice. But platinum's kind of difficult to acquire at times, isn't it?
Well, it is. And the people, or the organization, I should say, that I buy from commonly has no platinum right now offered. It's in short supply, which is kind of puzzling because it's trading at such a low price. So you would expect that if it was in short supply and there was heavy demand, that it would go up. But platinum is one of these hybrid metals. It is, and first and foremost, an industrial metal that's used extensively in catalytic converters. The relative downturn of the automotive industry, especially in North America and Europe, may have something to do with that. But Chinese buyers are loading up their garages with vehicles. I just read something today, John Nadler's column, and as you're probably aware, I'm a fan of John Nadler. There's states right here, 1.3 million vehicles bought in China over the last month. So from that point of view, it appears that platinum may have nowhere to go but up. There have been some supply disruptions and threats of supply disruptions in South Africa, which is very much in control of the world's platinum supply. So you add all that up, and it looks like platinum's a pretty good buy right now to me.
You know, is there any entity that has a large stockpile of platinum to your knowledge? I mean, you would think that the manufacturers of the catalytic converters, they probably have some type of inventory, but is there an investment group or production facility, storage facility that you know of that holds like millions of ounces of this stuff?
Not to my knowledge. But I will admit that I am no expert in the platinum market, but a lot of the rise in price over the last 3-4 years, when we've seen platinum and all precious metals go up, has been driven by ETF. So there is a platinum ETF that holds significant amounts of platinum, or paper platinum, I should say. But platinum is a very small market compared to gold. Both the platinum and palladium markets are very small in terms of annual production, a fraction of gold production in terms of not only ounces but value. The other thing that perhaps speculators could look at is the platinum to palladium ratio is way out of whack compared to historic ratios. It's about 2.6-1 right now. Normally, or historically, perhaps I should say, because it's hard to know what is normal in these volatile markets, that ratio is between 3-4. So that's another indication that platinum is undervalued with respect to palladium, and that's a buying signal for platinum for me too.
Yeah, I normally have stayed away from it because it just, it's a little more specialized, and like you said, it's a smaller, narrower market than even silver, and that ETF going in there definitely has to have a disruptive influence over time, because they've just pulled that platinum off the market and basically it's not going to go anyplace. It's in a vault. It's buried in the ground in an undisclosed location, never to be seen from again, right? I mean, how do they liquidate a position in platinum? It just isn't going to happen.
Well, yes, your point's well taken there. So that has pulled supply off the market. We've seen that in all these ETFs. The gold ETF is largely responsible for, perhaps should not say largely, but certainly is responsible for a big portion of the run-up in gold over the last 7 or 8 years. I think the gold ETF was rolled out by the World Gold Council proposed in 2002, something right. Like that. 2003, it was functional, if memory serves. So from that point of view, we see all metals skewed. We've seen that lately with over the last 9 months or so with the copper market. There's now a physical copper ETF listed in London, and that has pulled a significant amount of copper from the COMEX off the open market, and it basically sits there in storage. So you could argue that the high price of copper that we enjoyed until the recent strong correction was largely driven not by supply demand fundamentals, but the fact that copper had been pulled off the market by the physical copper ETF.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking that same thing myself. You see it with silver as well. And you have the private ETFs, the Sprott group of ETFs for gold and silver, and then you've got Central Fund and GTU, and they all issue more shares, buy more metal, and then pull it off the market, which has to contribute to scarcity. And getting back to that, have you seen the record sales numbers of silver eagles by the U.S. Mint?
Yes, I have, and that's quite interesting, is it not? So we're seeing demand. A lot of that is probably due to safe haven insurance policy sort of buying. That said, I looked at the correction that we had in gold. It was about a 15% correction, and personally, I think that correction is not run its course right now. I have a a significantly lower buy price for gold than it's trading at as we speak right now at about 1670, something right. like that. And my buy price, you could almost call it a stink bid, mm-hmm. was met during off hours in the North American market when I could not buy. But I look for the correction in gold to come again, if you will. We certainly can look at a chart of gold and see that it went parabolic at about 1500 and it's come back down. It's challenged that mm-hmm. exponential beginning of the exponential rise, if you will. It got down, I think, briefly to 1531, but it bounced right back off. But I personally think that we could see a gold price correction taking it down somewhere in the 1500, 1550 range here in the near term. And I would welcome that because then that becomes another buying opportunity.
And that could well become the floor price, too. Yeah, you could very well be right. I mean, I've never prided myself on being an astute trader. In fact, anytime I've ever tried to trade anything, I've lost money without fail because I'm just not. I feel like you really need to make that your business. You need to be following it and watching the tape and really watch the flow of money. And it's just an expertise that I don't possess. But God knows if you've got the ability and the stomach for the risk tolerance, then it's a great way to make money. That's for sure.
But, well, I personally don't have that sort of tolerance or risk appetite. I do engineer resource stocks, but not in metal markets. I am one of those guys that is a firm proponent that you should have 10% of your net assets in gold or perhaps some in other precious metals. So I am a buyer. I am not a seller. I do not sell my precious metals. I don't swap them out for gold, for platinum. I accumulate. So when I was talking about a buying opportunity for platinum, I will accumulate more precious metals in that regard. And the same if gold goes and completes its correction, takes a 20-25% correction off the whole high of a little bit more than $1,900, then I become once again a buyer of gold, and that just goes into storage and never sees the light of day again. So unless we have a significant financial calamity and gold becomes the only thing with liquidity and purchasing power.
Yeah, and you brought up a great point, is that even with the correction that's taken place, it's really a paper correction. I don't see anybody that I know or any large holders. I mean, there were rumors that Soros sold off all of his gold, but with that exception, I haven't heard of anybody selling any gold in any quantity. Wherever it's coming from, I don't know, but it's certainly not from people like you and myself who've basically decided that this is the way to protect wealth, especially in the medium to long term. So it's an interesting phenomena. But Mickey, tell us about your website, what you do.
MercenaryGels.com is the website. I write a newsletter on a variety of subjects, macroeconomics, libertarianism, geopolitics. I pick stocks. I write about commodities. Also do a lot of TV and radio with shows such as yours and give viewpoints about the markets. So it's a free subscription service. I run a sponsorship-based model, and so my products are out there on the website for everybody to see and read and make up their own minds. Very much a proponent of speculators and investors doing their own due diligence, and we actually try to teach people some of the tricks of the trade in that regard.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for being on. We will have you on again soon. I'm a subscriber to your site. You can't beat the price. And there's a lot, and more importantly, there's a lot of valuable information on that site.
Well, thank you very much, Kerry. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
You too.